Let's start with you. Can you tell us more about your musical background, please?
I started playing guitar when I was like 10 years old, I think. My dad played guitar and I thought it was pretty cool. Started playing guitar, and then my brother, he sort of started getting into alternative music. He's a couple of years older than me, and he'd start coming home in like in band merch and listening to these like this alternative music, and I was just fascinated by it. I thought it was just so cool. And then soon as I went to secondary school, so like year seven, I just immediately wanted to start a band. I started a band like within like the first like week of me going to secondary school when I was like 12. And I've just been obsessed with it. I loved everything about it. I loved the like the aesthetic of punk and skate punk and everything that sort of came with it. And I loved all the everything in all the different like subgenres of the alternative world, and it just fascinated me, and it still does. It's something I've just so I just continued and basically started trying to make my own crew, my own band, my own thing straight away when I got to secondary school, and that's just it just continued from there. I've kind of been doing the same thing for 20 years.
As you mentioned, so there's obviously the will to do like the other brother, but was there also a spark, like a musician or video clips that kind of light the whole thing?
He played bass guitar, but never like took it as seriously as I did. And my dad was just like a hobby guitarist. He sort of played blues. And then as soon as I started, I mean, like all the like heavy mu or like Kerrang and P Rock and all the old channels on TV that used to play bands' videos. So like I first saw someone wearing a Slipknot hoodie at my local skate park and was just like, what the fuck is that? Like, what are those dudes, nine dudes in masks? I had to find out more straight away, and just I was in.
All right. So if we come back a little to the past and to the so what period in 2019, is there a particular souvenir or an event that's in retrospect in your mind will kind of sum up the whole period around so what?
So what was a real sort of growing moment for our band. So the record before it was You Are We, which was the first record we did, directly crowdfunded. And after we made that record, it went really well. We started working on So What, and it was sort of a moment, that was quite a difficult time in our band. It was a mix between people struggling with mental health issues, and Lars, our singer, had surgery on his vocal cords. And that record actually sort of, without planning or wanting anything to be like this, it actually had quite a lot of struggle inside it. And it was quite a hard process to sort of get through. Although it was still really fun and something we're really proud of, it was a hard record to get through. And I feel like when we did complete it, the record did incredible things for our band. We grew a lot in like the size of the shows and the fan base and those kind of things, and that again sort of refilled our energy to do something to sort of come out of that struggle and try and do something really positive with it.
Okay, as you just mentioned, so you kind of with the album around So What, and you changed the way you manage business in terms that you involve mo much more of the fans in terms of financing the record. You I suppose you want your you wanted your independence and directly sell it to the fans first, and after that I would say in position of force compared to with deals with the record companies and so on.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And I started managing the band at the end of the So What campaign, and just trying to have like as much control as possible, so that we can really we can do what we want to do with the band and create something that is sustainable for us to continue doing it for as long as possible. It's quite a difficult industry to be sustainable in. So we're constantly just taking steps to get closer to that.
Do you think that's the future of business, especially with the fact now streaming sites, Spotify and so on, are getting bigger and bigger, and at some point you will need some in the far future label or recording companies?
Yeah, I think it's something that isn't anywhere near as necessary as it once was. And that's just through everything changing, through streaming being the way it is, through the way that people can create albums now. You can record an album basically in your bedroom if you want to. Mm-hmm. And yes, everything, the world's constantly evolving and the way people consume music's constantly evolving. And when things like that evolve, some things become less necessary, some things become more necessary, and we're just experiencing that change, and we're trying to, you don't have to always use the old system and the old machine. And we're trying to grow with it and trying to create a way for bands to survive and be able to do this for a living easier than it has been for us, because it's been like we've been doing it 15 years and it's been a constant struggle to get to where we are today. And what we've created with Sleep Society is something to show to other bands as an option that you could do that might support what you want to do and make it something that you can actually live off rather than it being a hobby or having to stop what you're doing because of financial reasons, which is something that you should never even interfere with your creative.
All right. I have this cliche, and you'll tell me if it's true for While She Sleeps, that at the end of a period of an album, at some point when the band decide to go for the next record, they kind of gather and they talk and they brainstorm about what they want for the future, the direction they want for the next record. Is that the case for While She Sleeps? And if it's the case, what was the idea when you started to work on Sleep Society?
We don't have like the convo, but we are talking constantly about what we do next. That's just something that we've done as a band since we were kids. We're always talking about what do we do? How do we better what we've done? How do we grow from what we've learned? And what is the next step? And this idea that is Sleep Society is actually an idea that we've had almost all the way through our career, where we've kind of said, imagine if we could get this audience we've created and get them, turn those guys into the like shareholders of the band, turn them into the, basically saying if everyone does a little bit, you end up in a good place and no one has to spend loads of money. We just you kind of say if you like this, then everyone give us a few pounds and then we'll be able to do it and do way more of it than we would be able to do if we were always borrowing piles of money from corporations and then selling all our rights to them and those kind of things, which is like a really backwards way. So all of our career has sort of led to this point of what we've tried to create on Sleep Society.
All right. How far were you in this album when the pandemic struck in March 2020?
We were on tour in America from February into March. And on that tour, we were discussing this idea quite heavily because we were like, right, this is the moment to do this idea for Sleep Society. We knew what we wanted to make, and we knew that how it wanted to happen with the album. And then that tour got cut short, and we had to fly back from the States straight into lockdown here. So we actually, Sean and I, the guitarist, had started writing beforehand. I sort of started writing on that American tour, and then we came straight back into lockdown, and everyone just spent the first like 6 weeks, 2 months, just writing at home in our like on acoustic or just writing individually. And then as soon as the restrictions sort of lifted, so you could start, you could go back to work if you couldn't work from home and you could only work like for us, that's a studio or like a band practice rehearsal space. So as soon as we were allowed to do that, we started working in the studio together and bringing all these ideas together. So it worked quite nicely because we had that like moment of personal serenity to write in the initial lockdown. And then we started working together. So it worked quite well.
Right. Over the years, did you develop kind of a process to create songs within the band?
Yeah, kind of. Like Sean, the other guitarist, he writes almost constantly. He writes whether there's an album on the horizon or not. That's his creative outlet. So he's doing that all the time. So there's always this growing bank of ideas. For me, my writing input is vocals and lyrics and melodies and those kind of things, and a bit and like song structuring and those kind of things. But and then Loz's is a similar sort of department of like vocals. So Sean sort of creates this skeleton, and then we kind of dress it and decorate it, and that's kind of the usual the way that songs come to life.
All right. What can you tell us in general about the recording session for Sleep Society and your work with Carl Down?
So Carl we've worked with Carl since this is the sixth. We've done five albums with him, which is crazy to say. Carl's incredible. We love working with him. He's just this great dynamic where he understands the band really well and how to work us as musicians. And he understands our songwriting and the way that we do it. We changed things on this record a little bit, so we chopped the whole record in half. Oh, hiya, thank you. You did very well. Oh, Jesus. Sorry, that's just my beautiful girlfriend delivering me a beer. How nice.
Oh, nice, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so we chopped the whole record in half, and because So What was such a sort of struggle physically and mentally, and generally albums have a way of really testing you. They take about a year out of our life, and they're sort of every ounce of energy put into this condensed down into like an hour of music. And So What hit us so hard that we were like, we have to rethink the way we do this, because walking into a studio with 12 songs in front of you is just this humongous task, a really daunting task that can be really overwhelming. So we chopped the record in half, recorded it song by song for the first half of the record, then had 2 months writing the next set of, or like we already had them written, but spending time working closely onto the next batch of songs, and then did that. And it helped us sort of stay balanced and not burn out, because if you imagine doing 12 at a time or 11 at a time, you by the end of it, you're tired and you're not putting the same amount of energy you are as you into the first ones. So that's like, from my point of view, that's an unhealthy way to create if you want to get your best work out.
All right. As you mentioned, you, in the band, you play guitars and you also do some vocals. Mm-hmm. Do you like both dimensions of the work, or are you passing by, you prefer singing than playing guitars, or?
I love playing guitar, but I don't have a fascination with like wanting to be fucking Steve Vai, or like I don't want to be that kind of guitar player. I'm happier just the guitar being the backbone to my singing, if you know what I mean. I get most enjoyment from writing something vocally and then creating the right bed for it with the guitar. that's kind of where I'm most happy as a musician, is just essentially like playing guitar and singing on like an acoustic. That's kind of where I enjoy it.
Okay. So you welcome the special guests on the record, Simon Neal and Derek Weebly. How did that happen?
We found out that Derek is a fan of the band, which was crazy because they're like a childhood favorite band for quite a few of our members. And then we sort of asked around until we found someone who had a contact for his manager. That was the closest we could get. And reached out through him. He got in touch and Derek came back and said he'd love to work with us and do something. And it just sort of went from there. And it's been a really fun collaboration because we wanted both the guest vocal or like the guest appearances on the album to be more than just a small section in the song. We were kind of wanted to have them play a slightly larger part and it be more of a collaboration than a feature, like a guest feature. So we invited Derek to sort of sing whatever he wanted in the song and which bits he felt most sort of magnetized to. And I'm super happy with how both of them came out.
Okay. Do you see a direct impact on the current context of with the COVID to the atmosphere of the songs or the lyrics?
Not directly from COVID, but I think for us it's more we're kind of talking about what Sleep Society is and why that feels so important to sort of create this slightly new avenue of survival for bands like us, which has a real relevance to the COVID situation, because it's made everyone sort of have to take a look at what you're doing and if it's possible and if it's something that's sustainable and you're something that you can do after losing such a large part of what comes with it, which is live performance and touring. So it's sort of the idea started without COVID being present, and then COVID became present throughout the creation of the idea, and it started sitting quite in line with why we were doing it, and the Sleep Society is almost it sort of combats the corona situation and helps us survive through what was not only a difficult time in the music industry for bands, but also now is a difficult time for bands just in the current climate of live music.
All right. In general, and especially for this album, how did you work the cover artwork?
So myself and Sav, our drummer, spent a lot of time trying out different ideas. We kind of knew from the beginning that we wanted it to be another sort of banner or flag. We knew that from the beginning because we knew that that was our favorite form of branding, like a club or a society or like that kind of like members club. And then, so we tried loads of different artwork. And then when we were happy with the artwork, we started creating that physically and working with a seamstress and working with a local embroidery company to bring it to life. And we had this idea that like you make a design on a computer and pen and paper, and then you make that physical. And then when you make it physical, it has its own sort of presence. And then you take the photo in the setting of choice, and it has all the energy trapped inside it, rather than some people would just do that on computer and then just put it on. But for me, that it's so much, there's so much more power to it if it's physical. And then it also opens up the door to the fact that once it's physical, it's something that you could have on your bedroom wall too, or you could bring to the show and those kind of things. And I love that. I I think art is meant to be big and in your face and in person. I don't like it just to be done for a computer screen or for a phone, which is a lot of it is now. So,
all right. You also released a video clip for first video clip for the album. In general, do you like that kind of exercise? And now in 2021, how important is it still as a promoting tool for them?
Sorry, can you say that question again?
So you released a video clip for I think the song's Sleep Society.
Yeah.
Sorry. Do you like that kind of exercise in general? How important it is as a promoting tool for a band in 2021?
I think it's, we have no choice in sort of denying that it's a hugely important thing now, and people have got used to music coming with a visual. Like, that is a lot of the time how it's delivered now, is through a visual. So it's a really important part of it, and we kind of try and use it as a tool to explain the song in a slightly better way. And we have a visual in our head when we're creating the song, whether it's a color or just a feeling or what it sort of sounds like to us. So it's an opportunity to try and bring that song to life in a visual experience rather than just an audible experience. And my brother is a filmmaker, so we make all our videos together. And do it. It's all very much in the family and While She Sleeps. So it's an opportunity for me to work with my brother, who's an amazing, amazing creative, and an amazing filmmaker. So we try and put as much effort into videos as possible, because that might be the thing that makes you want to find out more about the band. And it's an opportunity to show what you're doing in a slightly different way.
All right. I think my time will soon be up. So my last question would be, what can we wish you? What's your hope and expectation for While She Sleeps in the coming weeks or months?
We have a very exciting couple of months incoming. I can't tell you too much, but I can just say, keep an eye on the Instagram page. If you're a member of the Sleep Society already, then you'll find out things first. And thanks for being part of that. We have this incredible community now, not only on our social medias, but inside the actual Sleep Society and on the Patreon. And there's so much exciting stuff going on from now until the release of the record, and some really cool stuff planned for after the record comes out. So yeah, just keep watching it.
So, and just to finish, you still have hope to be able to tour this year, or you still don't know?
Maybe towards the back end of this year. I want to tour again when people feel comfortable and it's safe to, and I don't want to put audiences at risk. I want it to happen when it's right. And also, I don't think we're quite the right band to be doing a socially distanced show or those kind of things. So I'm just, when it happens, it'll be really special and really beautiful, and those kind of things aren't worth rushing. So when it happens, it'll be right.
You may have heard that Hellfest in France was cancelled for this year.
Yeah.
Do you think the summer season is dead?
I think it's very optimistic that it might happen. I'm unsure. But I think as soon as it's safe, then it'll happen. But yeah, I don't know.
All right. Thank you very much. Finger crossed. Wish you and the band the best.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time. And so hopefully see you not so far away on stage in Paris or somewhere in France.
I hope so too.
Take care.
Lovely to be back. Thank you, Christoph.
Bye-bye.
Bye.